In today's episode, I got to talk with former Miss Bikini Olympia, who's also a really good friend of mine, Courtney King. And I just finished putting the episode together, and I'm so happy with the way that it turned out. I feel so heard and so seen from this conversation, and I really hope that you guys feel the same way. We talked about her journey to get on stage and what followed after that, in terms of like mental health and physical health issues that she dealt with, some of our lowest lows and a few of our highs, which was so nice to kind of just be able to chat with a friend about everything that we've been through. She's an incredibly inspiring person and definitely someone that I personally look up to. And if you guys find this conversation helpful and you want to find her on her social media, I will have everything linked in the description of this podcast. But I hope that you all enjoy. All right, Courtney, I am so excited to have you on. You are my second guest, which is so
cool. Amazing. I'm so excited to be here.
So great. So I just want to give you a second to kind of introduce yourself, share a little bit about your background. I'm sure there are a lot of people who listen to the podcast that will already know you and love you and support you. But for those that don't, can you tell us a little bit about like your fitness journey and what got you started and inspired your training and the path that it led you on? Because it's a very, very interesting path.
Yes. Oh gosh, I never know how to start these. And people are like, introduce yourself. I'm like, oh my gosh, like what?
But, I just put you on the spot. I'm like in the class.
No, you're totally good. You're totally good. I feel like I can just like ramble. So we'll just condense this. But Hello, you guys. My name is Courtney. Super excited to be here. I kind of got started with everything in the fitness industry. So that's like how I first got my focus. Now is more like holistic health and like really internal well-being, mental health, health from the inside out. That's like my main focus. But I was very involved in the bodybuilding industry started in 2011. So I was a junior in high school. So crazy. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. And my mom got me into it. My mom got me into training, fitness, pretty much. Long story short is I hung out with a not so good group in high school, you know, a lot of partying, being young, doing stupid stuff, kind of going down the wrong path. And my mom didn't compete or anything like that, but she was always a fitness fanatic and always working out. And my dad pushed me in sports. So she's like, get your ass to the gym with me. Like, you're not hanging out with these girls anymore. You gotta like get it together. I'm like, no, I don't want to go. But it was honestly the best thing I ever did at such a young age. I think I started training at 16, 17. And then I started to compete. So my mom used to train with this woman, this Venezuelan woman, came up to me and she's like, have you ever thought about doing a bikini show? I'm like, what the hell is that? I'm like, no. And she's like, you totally should. And it's when bikini kind of just came out. So if you guys don't know what the hell I'm talking about, pretty much is like there's different divisions in the bodybuilding world. There's like bodybuilding, figure, fitness, and bikini. There's more divisions. So I competed in like the smallest one per se. And yeah, it was good. It was fun. And I trained a lot, did that. I turned pro in 2012. So I was a senior in high school and I became a professional. So I did it for years, got my first sponsor, which was GNC. I was like 19. I was a baby. And like a lot of things kind of happened at a very young age, very, very fast. I'm very grateful for everything. And I did it from 2011 and I retired in 2017. During that time, I did tons of pro shows. I traveled the world. It was great. I won the Olympia, which is like the pinnacle of the sport, you know, like the top thing at 23. So I was a little baby. I'm 27 now. And it was fun. It was a journey. And then my health took a turn in mid-2017. I started to experience some severe health issues. And as much as competing was great and fun and competitive, and it pushed me and it got me out of a really going down a wrong path. It's an extreme. So the sport is extreme. You know, I didn't have a period for 6 years, five and a half, six years at all. Like in my main baby making years, you know, like when you're late teens, early 20s, mid 20s, when my estrogen should be like super high and I should, you know, that's when like you're in your main baby making years. I literally just cut everything off. My hormones were tanked. I started having extreme gut issues, thyroid issues, just metabolic problems, couldn't lose weight, tired all the time. So I started, it was a battle. So I switched my focus from, you know, this bodybuilding industry where it's very external. It's, you know, we're focusing on like, I'm going on stage to be judged on my body. That's it. Like I'm literally doing that. So, I mean, yes, it's a sport, but at the same time, at such a young age, I think I developed this, almost this, well, I did like a disordered way of how I should look. Because I was always so lean. And if I didn't have abs all the time, and if I wasn't 110, 15 pounds, I was like, I like hated myself. You know, and I know you struggled with this, babe. The food, you know, you start to have a disordered eating with food. And I'm not saying this is how it is for everyone in the sport, but I started to really develop this food fear, binge eating. I just went through a lot. It was a lot. As much as I'm grateful for the journey and what it taught me, discipline, you know, drive, determination, get shit done, and to really push myself on a mental and physical level, it also came with some pretty intense side effects at a very young age. So since 2017, 2018, I started to, again, take a turn with my health, go more inward, focus on the inside out. Like, is health really having a great butt and abs? I mean, yeah, sure. We can want that. That's fine. Like, hey, we can strive for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I say your health is your greatest wealth. And if you don't have that, you don't have shit. Just laying it out there. So, yeah, I went back to school in 2017 for holistic nutrition. So I studied that for a year at a school based out of Phoenix, Arizona called Southwest Institute of Healing Arts. It was amazing. I'm a huge foodie. I know you are too. Yes. I love food. I love recipes. I love creating. So that was fun. And it, you know, gave me a different perspective on, instead of looking at just like your macronutrients, your proteins, fats, and carbs, you're looking more at like micronutrients and like nutrition and healthy fats and adequate amount of protein. And it was just a different view than what I was used to. You know, I was used to calories. I was used to counting. You know, I didn't know what intuitive eating was. I didn't know like you could have a healthy relationship with food and not track it. So totally took a 360 with my brand. I still love the gym. I still work out. You know, it's always going to be a passion of mine. It's always going to have a place in my heart, but it's just, there's more to life than a number on the scale or how you look all the time. You know, you see social media and all these people, and it's like, you start to like, almost not like yourself. And that's how I felt for a really long time.
My gosh, I have so many things I wanted to ask you as you were talking, but I'm like,
I just threw it all at you. I'll let you take over.
Amazing. This is amazing. Like the way that you told this story, I keep nodding because I'm like, you know, I started following you when you became Miss Bikini Olympia. Like that to me is so crazy. It's so crazy. And you know, you were a Gymshark sponsored athlete. It was very, that was kind of that lifestyle. And I think about how much I have struggled with body image, with food restrictions, digestive issues, and all of that. And I can only imagine how much worse it was almost for you, because I don't know what that would be like to have your body, like my body has never been that lean. I mean, I hope that people can just Google pictures of you and see how your hard work just completely showed on stage. And it was amazing. Yeah. And it was such, I know that there are so many people that looked up to you, that found you so inspirational. And I guess my question is, what was that turning point when you were like, oh my God, I really like, you know, I can't live this lifestyle anymore. And what was that like for you mentally? Because I know for me, it was really hard to switch from bodybuilding to wellness. And I can only imagine what that's like for someone who carries this title and this pressure on, you know.
It was hard, you know, because my whole life, the definition of like who I was based in
bodybuilding was based in how I looked, was based in my achievements. And back like 2011, 2012, before Instagram was really a thing and you could kind of like, you know, take over, like the way to get a sponsor or to be in a magazine or whatever was you had to compete. You had to do well. And that's like when sponsors signed you, like it was always this pressure to do more and to be more, which isn't necessarily bad. It can push you. But at the same time, like it was just this constant need for perfection. And honestly, it became like very draining. It became very stressful. And something I once loved, which was the gym and working out, and it was your safe place where you went. And it was amazing. It became a job. That's when I knew, besides my health really making an impact, which I can talk about, that's when I knew like, okay, shit, like I compete professionally and you need to look at that as your job. But it almost took like the love out of it and the passion I once had. It was like, oh, I have to go to the gym for the third time today. Like it was almost just exhausting. It was exhausting. And I remember vividly how it all really sunk in for me. I did the 2016 Olympia. Mm-hmm. That is when I won, you know, it's like an all-time high, like whatever, great times. And then I was getting ready for another big show. A lot of people know him, Arnold Schwarzenegger. So he has a show called the Arnold Classic. And I was getting ready for that big show. It's another big prestigious show. And I remember being 2 weeks out from this show and I was on the treadmill running sprints. And I kept having to get off. I'm like, what's going on? Like I was getting off and like holding my throat and like my chest. I felt burning in my esophagus. And I remember spitting up my food and I'm like, this is weird. Like I've never had issues, right? I've never had any issues. And it's like, we don't like realize how important our internal health is usually until something starts happening. Like you start experiencing gut issues or constant bloating or something's happening with your skin and you're like, what's going on? That's when you're like, okay, you got to fix the inside. So I started spitting up and I'm like, this is like disgusting. Sorry, people on the pod listening here. And I didn't know what was going on. And it progressively got worse and worse. And I remember doing that show in Ohio, the Arnold. And then I flew to Hawaii the next weekend, did another show. And then I flew to Australia the next weekend and did another show. And then after that, me and my ex-boyfriend at the time went to Bali. And I remember being in Bali, like crying in the bathroom after everything I ate because I was over the toilet puking. Not intentionally. This wasn't intentionally trying to throw up. This was my stomach was so messed up. And this acid reflux was so extreme that I couldn't even keep water down. That's how bad it was. It was awful, awful, awful. So that's when I was like, okay, I'm done. And that was my last show. And it took me about 3.5 years. I had 8 months of that really bad acid reflux, but then I had like lingering gut issues, thyroid, a ton of other things kind of crumble with my health. Yeah. And it kind of just all got resolved like last March, 2020, which is crazy to think about. Crazy.
So crazy to think about because I, you know, followed you through those years and I actually vividly remember, you know, you posting a picture of yourself like at the hospital over and over. I mean, you would be tears running down your face. You're at the hospital and, you know, I'm sure the world is watching thinking like, holy crap, like what is happening? And I can only imagine what that was like on the inside. I also know that just simply from what you've shared, you didn't have the best support system. You didn't have, besides for like your family. I know from personal experience, like in terms of getting help from doctors, that's not always very helpful either. And that's its own stressful aspect. So, you know, I have to say, I like commend you for coming out on top because watching you now and watching your content now, it's like so extremely inspiring. And I'm sure it's inspiring for other people because you really went through that. You have shown women that you can recover from body dysmorphia. You can recover from an eating disorder, which I'm not saying you had, but I, from what it sounds
for sure
like,
I did. Yes, for sure did. Yeah, 100%. Like, and you can. And there's so many women who struggle with it. I'm not saying like, you know, like if you're listening to this and being like, well, I don't compete, or it's not even that. Like so many, I don't know what it is in this generation, but the amount of women I talk to who have gut issues, who are dealing with something hormonally, who are constantly fatigued, who feel like shit all the time, can't lose weight, whatever it may be, it's pretty intense. Like, I think a lot of it is also stress. We live in a very stressful day and age where there's constant pressure and there's constant, you see so-and-so posting something or whatever, and you're like, well, I'm not doing that. I'm not achieving this. I need to be doing more. I'm not good enough. When I was experiencing like my worst health issues, I saw the top GI specialist in Chicago, the Mayo Clinic, Newport Beach, mm-hmm. California. Like I went everywhere to try to like figure out what was going on. And sometimes we have to be our own health advocate. And I'm not saying like there's anything wrong with seeing a doctor. Like I'm blessed for Western medicine. I ran, you know, different tests. I work with a functional medicine doctor now. She's amazing. I freaking love her. We kind of got to like a lot of the root issues, but I think for a long time I reached to like trying to find a specific diet or like, you know, a specific protocol or take these supplements or do this. And I like didn't listen to my own body. I pushed off my own cues and I was trying to like reach for everything else around me. And until the pandemic hit like last March, that's when it, like things really started to shift for me. I went through a breakup. I was at like an all-time low and I was like, I am done doing this. Like I'm done feeling like shit. I'm done feeling sorry for myself. Cause then for a while there, I feel like I was defined by my health issues. You know, for a while I was like, oh, Courtney the competitor and Miss Bikini Olympia and la da da da. And then it was like Courtney with gut issues. That's what I put out. And as transparent as I wanted to be online, like this is my life. I can't do this whole fake bullshit a lot of people post, and I'm sorry. Like I can't. Like I have to. I don't want to be like a pity party online and be like, oh, look at me. But I did want to show like someone who accomplished whatever can also be like in the shitter. Excuse my language, you know?
No, I mean, you know that. I do, absolutely. And I completely agree with that. It's so funny. Like I also felt that my identity was in this, I had a very long-term relationship with someone and we were traveling the world and we were posting cute pictures. And then I had this fitness identity as well. And I was like, well, I'm in the bodybuilding realm. I'm a Gymshark athlete. I'm a woman's best sponsored athlete. Yep. And that was my identity. And then when you lose those things, which I lost both of them kind of around the same time, I was like, whoa, who am I? What am I, you know? And then you kind of have to figure out, because it is your job, because our life is our job in a sense, scary and terrifying. And it's so interesting because I think with you, especially, I mean, from the outside perspective, before the health issues and before all of that was happening, and, you know, I'm sure it was happening for a little bit of time before you actually were comfortable to post it online, it looks so perfect on the outside.
Oh my gosh.
The perfect relationship, the perfect kind of body, the perfect title. And you guys were traveling and you were doing all these things. And then we didn't know that you were throwing up in Bali.
Exactly. But you saw the amazing pictures. Right. And then I was like, I'm done living this like bullshit life. Like this is like, yeah, I'm posting this stuff, but I'm like, this is like what's really going on. And I think I had to go through all of this to really like be a stronger person, know what I want and who I am, you know, like to understand that I'm more than my body. Like, I feel like I had to experience all of these things to really lead me to this point I'm at now. And going back to last year, I feel like that was the first time I really went inward. I really was like, okay, there was a lot of things I put off for a long time with my mental health. Like, you know, just a lot of feelings of like unworthiness, guilt, shame, you know, past experiences that happened to me that I never healed from. And I was like, you know, familyhood, you know, we all have things, family stuff. And I feel like that is the first time I started to do the work and go inward with my mental health. You know, I saw a counselor, but she's not like a traditional counselor. She's kind of like, I always call her like my spiritual healer. Like she's like just, she tells you how it is. It's, she takes a lot of time with you. She's amazing. So I started to work a lot with her. Mm-hmm. I started to do, like, you know, journaling. I got into breath work for a little bit, and I love it. I actually have a session tonight doing like a breath work. So it's really intense. It's very deep.
I watched videos on it. I was like, nah, this is not gonna work.
Yeah, but it's amazing. It's amazing. Like it's amazing. So I had to go inward, and I stopped, you know, playing the victim. I realized that, like, hey, okay, you went through shit, but you are not defined by this. Get over it. Like, you're done. You're done. And that is kind of what really propelled me to, like, move forward and have a different outlook on my life and health and how I want to live and the message I want to preach. It's a hard transition. I know you've went through it. Like, coming from someone who's in the same boat as you, you know, like bodybuilding, Gymshark, this XYZ, we're posting all these amazing things, but it's like, what's really going on inside? And right. A lot of people don't see that.
Right. Absolutely. And it's hard to ask that question when you feel like you have it all and you should be happy. Like, I remember thinking, I have this relationship that seems okay. Like, it seems like I should be really happy. I have this job that is making me happy. Why am I unhappy? It's hard to turn inward, especially when you don't have the tools, especially when you've spent your entire life kind of dismissing yourself and being like, you should be happy with this. Like, so many people in your position would be happy with this. What I've learned in therapy is the and versus or kind of scenario, where you can be happy. People can want your life and you're allowed to be unhappy. So instead of being like, it's either people can want your life or I'm happy. Unhappy. Exactly. If that makes sense.
Exactly. 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 And I think a lot of it also has to do with, like, alignment. You know, I saw you posting long before, you know, when you're still with Woman's Best and Gymshark, like, you loved, like, cooking and, like, posting your little coffee stuff and taking more fashion photos. But you get in this place where you're, like, torn. You're like, oh, but, like, I have to go to the gym and post fitness content. No one's going to like me if I don't. No one's going to listen to what I have to say. And that was me for a long time. Like, when I started, like, posting more, like, holistic stuff or nutrition stuff or just random things, people really didn't give a shit. But I had to be okay with it for a little bit to, like, finally step into, like, you know, people being like, wow, you know, that, like, she's changed. And growth is a good thing. Change is a good thing. We're supposed to evolve. It's part of life.
Right. And I think when you don't have an identity, like, when you can't really connect to yourself, you're kind of looking outward for someone
to
accept you. Right. Yes. So it's interesting that, like, when you finally accept yourself and you're like, you know what, I am happy with what I post. I am happy with who I am. I am happy with what I can give to the world. Then you're not, like, looking for that outside perspective in. You're putting it out there, and whoever likes it, and whoever doesn't, doesn't. And that's okay. Whereas before it was like, oh my God, they don't like it. I have to change. I have to switch. I have to do this and this. And that's exhausting. I actually want to read you. It's funny because you were saying about, like, your childhood and kind of taking your power back. Yeah. I read this yesterday and you said this pretty much exactly what you said, but it says, I was powerless over my childhood, but the coping strategies that I developed to survive, all of which were creative, brilliant, and got me through as an adult, those became my defects of character. Those became my shortcomings, control, and all that kind of stuff. And that's my responsibility. I was a blameless child in what happened in the home. I take responsibility for my behaviors as an adult. And I think that is, like, when I read that, I was like, that is so true, because I think as kids and as even I think of myself as a kid when I was like 19, none of us knew what we were doing. Right.
Yeah.
And we did our best. We had coping mechanisms that weren't necessarily the healthiest. We did whatever it took to survive. And sometimes I look back on it and I used to feel kind of ashamed. Like, I remember thinking, oh man, I could have done things differently. I could have maybe ended certain things a little bit sooner or persevered in a different direction a little bit sooner. But I'm like, you know what? With the knowledge that I had, with the power that I had at the time, I did my best. And now it's my responsibility to just continue to kind of persevere and learn and implement that in my life.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, you mentioned, I would love to talk about relationships just a little bit, because you mentioned that you went through a breakup in 2020, and I know that, you know, I know both of you guys, and I know how incredible people both of you are. And I know that the online world was so happy to see you guys get back together. And I,
whatever you're comfortable with sharing, but I would just know any tips that you have.
Let's get into it. Like, I feel like I haven't really talked about my breakup. People knew. Okay, so let's rewind here. I started dating Chris. It's my boyfriend now in 2018. Okay. About 3.5 months prior, just got out of a long-term relationship with someone, and it was extremely unhealthy, to say the least. It was bad. So I started dating Chris, and Chris is like, honestly, he's human. We all have flaws. We fight, we still get into our shit, but to his core is an amazing person, amazing, amazing human. And I took a lot of my past unhealed things from my previous relationship into the relationship with Chris. I took a lot of like feelings of unworthiness, feelings like I'm not good enough, feelings like I needed to perform. Because in my past relationship, it was all about performance. It was all about like, well, this is what the outside world sees, and this is like how we need to be. And it was like, as bad as this sounds, it was like kind of, the better you were, the prettier you were, the hotter you were, the better body you had, the more you were loved. That's how it was. And in that relationship, that's when I was going through all my health stuff, all my health issues. And I felt, there's a quote, I don't know exactly how it goes, but it's like, it's better to be alone than be alone in a relationship. Like, I'd rather be by myself than be with someone and feel alone. And that's exactly how I felt, to sum up that. It was just trying to grab on for like attention, love, and it just wasn't there when I needed it most. It wasn't. It's sad, but it's okay.
Yeah, you were living low grade anxiety kind of.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. The amount of mornings I woke up with heart palpitations, and I was like, Mom, what's going on? And she's like, I don't know, honey. And, you know, talking to like different like doctors and stuff, I'm like, I'm getting like crazy heart palpitations, like in the morning when I'm waking up, no coffee, nothing like that. And like, I had a doctor look at me and she's like, that's like straight up anxiety, panic attack. Like, and I'm like, to wake up like that, like, it was just awful. I mean, it was a learning lesson, wish him well, but it was, you grow through what you go through. And I grew a lot. So it was great. That led me to being in a relationship, you know, with Chris. I look back and I'm like, oh, I should have taken more time to be single and this and that. But you know what? Like, things happen exactly as they should. And it is what it is. Like, I met the love of my life. He's amazing. But long story, like 2018, 2019, there was a lot of things that I wasn't healed from with my past. And I just brought it into that relationship. I remember one moment I had this like breakdown in Chris's kitchen and I was bawling. I don't even know what for. And I remember he looked at me and grabbed me and had like tears in his eyes. And he said to me, Courtney, I wish you could just see yourself how everyone else sees you and how I see you. And me being like, well, how is that? Cause I never saw myself as good. As bad as that is, for the past however many years, 17, 18, like 2.5 years before I dated Chris, I never saw myself as good enough. I never saw myself worthy of love. I never saw myself of acceptance. And we went through that for a while. And it got to a point where I would get in my head so much, I would push him away. Because it was like me projecting my feelings of unworthiness onto him. When he would try to love me harder, I'd be like, no. Stop. And it was bad. Like, it was awful. And, you know, coming from Chris's side, someone can only take so much of that before they're like, they reach a breaking point and they're like, hey, like, look, I can't do this anymore. And that's what led us to our breakup kind of at the start of quarantine. I remember the border being closed. He's Canadian. I'm obviously from the US. So the US Canadian border shut down, meaning like no one could travel into Canada. And, that kind of led like to some like frustration, which then led to, it was just a night where I projected onto him, like, we should just break up. Like, the amount of times I said that in this relationship, like, I feel bad. Like, looking back on it now, I'm like, Courtney, what? Like,
Like, it's just constantly pushing him away. And then there was one time I said it. I was like, you know what? We should just break up. This is going to be too much. And he always fought for me. Always. He was always like, that's not happening. I'm never letting you go. Stop. And I'm like, no, just like being just in my head. And there was a time I was like, I just want to be over. I can't do this. And the next morning he like texted me and was like, I can't do this anymore. And I'm like, wait, what? You know, because he always fought for me. And that was a huge wake up call. Like, okay, you really need to figure your shit out. Not me to him, me to myself. You know, like you have a lot of unresolved things. You gotta straighten out. And like my therapist told me, like, you can't be in a relationship unless you have a relationship with yourself. And I was like, wow, that hit, because I didn't have a relationship with myself. I didn't love myself. I didn't love who I was. I didn't like who I saw in the mirror. I lived in this victim mentality and this like depressing mode. And it just wasn't who I am. So it was a big wake up call. And we broke up from March, April, May, June, July, August. We broke up like at the end of March. I'll say April, May, June, July, August. So like 5 months. We separated, didn't see each other at all. Obviously the border was still closed. And then we got back together in August, and our relationship now is so much more meaningful and powerful than it was before. I'm not saying we didn't love each other before and it wasn't good. Like, we still go through things, but I look at the relationship and Chris with a whole different perspective. Like, I'm so grateful for him, where before I think I took all of his love and all of the appreciation he was trying to show me for granted. I literally, it just went right over my head. And now I look at it and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, this guy is amazing and would do anything for me, and vice versa, I'd do anything for him. So it was a learning lesson, but I'm so grateful that we're now on the other side.
Courtney, when I tell you, like, it's as if you are taking words out of my mouth. I'm sitting here like, this girl has like lived through, I mean, I've lived through your experience. You lived that situation that you described of you being like on the kitchen floor and him holding you and saying kind of like, I wish that you would see yourself through my eyes and through the eyes of the world. I had that 100% same experience over and over again as well. Multiple times at like the peak of my anxiety, where my boyfriend was like, I just want to love you, like, let me love you and let other people love you and let other people help you and take care of you. I was pushing everyone away, including him, and being like, too much. This is too much. I don't want to put you through this. This was constantly coming out of my mouth. And I'm so grateful. And I can tell you are as well, for people who loved us enough to stick around, to fight for us, to help us through it as much as they can. Sometimes it would feel impossible. I mean, at like the worst, I remember calling my therapist and just hyperventilating for hours, like into the phone, telling her that, like, I remember telling her this thing where I was like, and this is so personal and very, I hope that like my mom never hears this, but I remember telling her, look, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I want to live. I want to experience life, but I don't see a future for me. Like, it was as if I had like complete black sunglasses on. I couldn't see anything. On top of that, I was like, I don't want to die, but I don't know how to go on. Like, I don't know how I'm going to get to tomorrow and how I'm going to get to the next day and to the next day. And my, you know, I remember talking to my dad about this because he was, he's a doctor, and he was like, we need antidepressants. We need to help you. I mean, this is bad. What you're telling me right now is really bad. And if you can get to the next step, basically this, you know, I'm really worried. Everyone was so worried. And I was just like, I need to heal this experience in my early childhood that really shook me and kind of basically my entire world changed at 10 years old. And everything that I knew and loved and had kind of built as my foundation was just shattered, and I had to rebuild it. And the way that I rebuilt it was just, you know, just surviving. And I was in that surviving mode all the time. I think it's easy to get into relationships that aren't fulfilling at that, when you're functioning from that perspective, it's very easy to just dismiss a lot of things and not, because you don't have you don't have any other stability. You're just like, I don't know who I am. So I'm looking for you to tell me who I am. I'm looking for you to tell me that you love me. I'm looking for you to fight.
Oh my gosh.
Because I'm not going to fight for myself.
So spot on. Like the amount of times Chris like would tell me like, I love you. You're amazing. And I would not hear it. I would not hear it, but I would ask for it. Like, and oh gosh. And yeah, it truly is. It all starts with you. It 100% starts with you. So that's what happened. Like I had to figure out what was causing all of these feelings of shame, unworthiness, guilt. You know, I had to like be with my suffering. I had to sit with it. I pushed it under the rug for so long and like didn't really want to deal with it. I knew there was shit even in my last relationship, but I was like, whatever. Like I just constantly let things like go over my head, you know? And I think it was such a wake up call for me to go through this breakup with Chris and really take a hard look in the mirror and like, what do you need? Like, what is going to make you have that, you know, relationship with yourself? Because it is the most important relationship we have. And I just wanted to tell you that you are so not alone when you had those feelings, because I've had those feelings before, and it's a scary place. And it's, you know, and I know there's probably people listening who have also felt that. And it's sad, but it's also empowering to have that awareness, being like, okay, I feel this, but I don't want to do this. So let's switch the story. Let's rewrite the story, you know? And that's a powerful feeling to take back the control when you feel out of control. And it's hard work. It's hard work to take back the control. And when it's messy and you're going to have ups and you're going to have downs and it's going to be like this roller coaster. But then even though I'm on this like other side of healing now, you know, mind, body, I still have my moments. I still have my moments of feeling down, but I have an awareness now about it where I'm like, okay, why did you feel insecure there? Where is this coming from? And then I kind of like sit with myself and maybe I communicate it better, where before I didn't communicate. Oh my gosh, I was the worst. I didn't talk at all. What's wrong? Nothing. Nothing.
Literally.
Nothing. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Now I'm like, hey, let me communicate this in a way like, hey, babe, I feel, you know, and not pushing blame on him and not, yeah, it's a good feeling to take it back.
Same. And it's so interesting because, you know, we're talking about romantic relationships, of course. Yeah. I feel like that's the person who's really experiencing that with you. But I even had that in like friendships and any kind of relationships where I would almost expect people to like read my mind. Like I didn't tell them how I felt. And I was just like, well, like they should just know. And it's my thing. Yeah. Well, how are they supposed to know if you don't tell them? And I would feel, and I think like the way that she described it to me is like, she would be like, you feel guilty for voicing your feelings, your thoughts, your opinions. You feel so guilty for that because in the past you've been either shamed for them or told that you were wrong or you weren't listened to. You weren't given the space to be, to express yourself. Right. Yeah. So you feel guilty for doing that, but you obviously are a human being with these things. So you like, you get almost upset and frustrated and sad over the fact that someone can't understand you fully. Like you want to be understood without helping them understand you.
Totally.
And so much growth, I feel like, for most people has come from 2020. Like it's really crazy. You know, the world really completely turned upside down in my opinion. Yeah. And there was so much pain and there was so much loss, and it's so heartbreaking to look back at that. But I think that a lot of us who have come out of 2020 can at least look back and find something that was kind of like, you know what, I really needed this. I wish that it happened in a way where we didn't lose millions of lives, but at least we can find something, a little bit of something that's like, you know what, I overcame this and I can come out of it with that, basically.
Exactly. And if you're like, if someone's like listening who's struggling, like, you can overcome it, you know, like you can, it's going to take work and discipline and like being maybe really uncomfortable with your feelings, but it's possible. Like I truly never thought I was going to get out of these like health issues, this depressive mindset, this victim mentality. I just like stayed stuck and I stayed stagnant, and it was like comfortable for me to live in that. And I had to like shake it up, get uncomfortable. And 2020 did wake up, I think, so many people on that level. Yeah,
I agree. So my last question for you is, you are especially now, like, I feel like you've always been really confident person, at least from the outside perspective, right? And now I can see it on the inside. Like, it's just, it's something about you that's like, you are radiating just self-love and confidence and beauty in every way, shape, or form. And I just, do you have one tip for someone who's really down in the dumps right now, kind of like wanting, because I think the most common question that I get in this podcast is how to become confident, and my answer is always, well, is that really what you're looking for? Or are you looking for self-acceptance? Because if you've accepted yourself, then you will look confident to the rest of the world. That's literally all that it is. Someone who's so sure of themselves. Yeah. But one tip, one thing that they can implement in their life right now that could maybe help them.
Gosh, that is such like a powerful thing. And when you were just talking about self-acceptance, that's huge. I think maybe now my confidence comes from knowing who I am. Straight up. And I don't know if that's like a self-acceptance thing, but it's like, I just know who I am to my core. Like, so I really don't give a shit. And this is another thing. I don't know if it's me like getting older. I'm going to be 28 in September. I don't know what it is, but I used to be such a people pleaser and wanting the approval of so many people. Like, I even remember being on Gymshark and was like, oh my God, she probably doesn't like me. She probably doesn't like me. And now if I was fucking, excuse my language, if I was back at Gymshark, I'd be like, yo, I don't give a shit if you don't like me. Like, I don't care. I don't care. Like, I want to be around energy that I, you know, like that I love and that I attract. And that comes from knowing who I am. That comes from knowing my core values, what I, you know, what I accept, what I don't accept, having boundaries. I know it's just like this one thing, which it is like knowing who you are and having a solid relationship with yourself, because then it will flow into everything else in life. But, you know, it's also like living in this mindset of just really being grateful, you know, being grateful. Like, I used to just only fixate on the bad things. Like, even when I first started journaling, my whole journal was like negative. It was like, I feel like shit because la la. And now I'm just like, okay, I'm grateful that I had a good day with my gut health, or I'm grateful that I, you know, got to see my mom today and who I haven't, you know, just things like that. Like, instead of just fixating on all the bad, like, look at some of the good, like, go inward, have that solid relationship with yourself, heal those parts of you that maybe weren't met or that you didn't feel seen. Like, when I truly did that, that's when everything else changed. And like, my last thing would be like, give less shits. Like, who cares? You know, I follow Gary Vee. I love him. He's kind of hardcore, but like, one of the things he said is like, you're going to die one day. We're all going to die. We're going to be in the ground, you know? So
we all know the outcome of all of us.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I read one of his captions, like, you're going to die. I'm like, wow, it's so positive. But seriously, like, we're so focused on everyone else. And even this little app, you know, Instagram, it's like, we're constantly fix it. Like, we constantly get this high looking at other people's lives, and we're just scrolling through, wasting time looking at how everyone else is living. And like, we forget how to live ourselves. Wow. I literally deleted Instagram yesterday because I told Chris this, my screen time was like way too high. I was like, I just found myself scrolling too much. Mm-hmm. And I have to check myself. And I'm like, babe, I'm deleting this app today. I think he's like, okay, I'll check you at the end of the day and make sure you only were on for 30 minutes. I was like, okay, well, I already wasted 22 in the morning. Like, as I'm up, like, yeah. What am I doing? No. And not saying that's bad. It's not bad, but like, I just want to focus on things that like really light my soul up, you know? And I can't be looking at everyone else's lives, and not saying I don't care like what you're doing, or like, I love looking at my girls' lives and other people, but sometimes I just get sucked in and I forget to live myself.
Right. And
so, then, yeah. So I hope, you know, that was like a few things, but I hope you guys like got something from that. You know,
that's great. I think they're all really good tips. I mean, I'm right there with you. Like, less screen time, less starting your morning off with looking at other people's lives. Like, I just don't even touch my phone until I've journaled, until I've had my coffee, until I've sat outside, unless I have something pressing that I have to like answer an email. But
Instagram, YouTube, all that. I'm like, nope, not right now. Not. No. And I really, you know, I think for you and I, especially, like, we can kind of, it is our job. So we do have to be on there, but I really kind of took that as, I'm like, that's my job now. And I can make it fun and I can make it meaningful and I can make it very, like, I'm connecting with people. But it doesn't have to be my life. I don't have to share every little thing that I'm doing. I don't have to stress over it. I don't have to be on there as much scrolling. Like, I can share, and if it can help someone. And that's another thing, like, changing who you follow, I think, is so important. I mean, filter your screen. If you're looking at people who are just beautiful and there's nothing else there, you're not getting any other, nothing else, no other.
There's no substance.
No substance. Then it's like, ask yourself, is that helpful? Is that hurting you in some sort of way? Like, yeah. I do. When I left Gymshark, I was like, unfollow. I unfollowed so many people. And I remember just feeling like this relief. I was like, wow, I have so much more room now for, like, recipe videos and pictures of dogs and people I actually care about. Like, I have more room to actually invest in, you know, time into people who I care about, and seeing that versus, like, just the same person over and over and over again, basically.
Yeah, like, putting yourself in alignment with the things that you're about, you know, like, that's huge. That's huge. And that feeds your soul. That makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's, like, that's big. That's, like, the biggest thing, you know. Yeah. Like, it can be, Instagram and social media can be empowering. And that's, like, why I love, like, sharing my picture for my stomach looks 6 months pregnant. I know you've shared shared stuff as well. Like, I've shared acne. I've shared things that people get self-conscious about, you know, because they see all these beautiful filtered pictures. And I'm not saying we don't like to take beautiful pictures, or we like to get an outfit and feel good, or post a recipe because we're proud of it, whatever. I think that's amazing. I do it. Mm-hmm. But I also like the transparency. You know, I like being vulnerable. I like being transparent. It's part of life. We all go through things. You know, you're not alone. Like, no one's alone. Like, we all suffer. We all deal with our own set of issues or problems, but if you can relate to someone to overcome it, it's a really empowering feeling. So
And I guess the last thing I want to add is, like, because this is something I struggled with, I felt like I didn't have permission to change. I remember thinking about, like, I was like, well, I'm now a Gymshark athlete forever. Well, I'm now the person I was in that relationship forever. And I this is all that I can be. Like, I could never change and change my opinion and change my life. And this is, like, you know, Courtney and I are telling you guys, you have permission to change. You can wake up tomorrow and decide, I don't want to be living here. I don't want to be in this relationship. Perfect. You can change your life, whatever it is that is in your control. And if you feel like you need to do it, because personally, like, I knew it for a long time, and I
were talking to you about it.
Yes.
I remember us messaging and being like, this is hard. We don't know. Like, you know, and that's, like, us that you guys might see live this life of, like, you know, oh my God, the relationship, one's living in LA, it's amazing, we're at this company, but it's like, oh my gosh, we knew, like, something had to change. And I have seen you just totally, like, be like this little butterfly, and you're, like, thriving right now. You're, like, totally, like, free, your wings are out. You're like, yes. Like, I, you know, you have this, like, happiness about you. And that's really awesome to see, you know.
I think I relate to when you said, I feel the most myself. I also feel the most myself. And that doesn't mean that I don't have moments of anxiety or sadness or all of that, but I feel like I know myself. And that's such a comforting feeling where I don't have to wonder if people think that I'm a nice person. I'm like, I am a nice person. I used to think that a lot. I was like, am I nice? Like, who am I? That's such a scary question. And to know who you are and to know what you stand for and, like, what you believe in and what you'll fight for and your values and all those things, like, that is so.
It is. And I think that's the thing we all have to get back in touch with. You know, we need to get back in touch with ourselves.
Yes,
we do. That is, like, huge. That is huge. We lose touch with ourselves. We get defined by the outside world, other people, other things, the opinions of others. We fixate too much on the outside. Like, we got to let that go. And maybe we're just really, like, old souls.
Getting old. Yeah, dude. You know? Old souls, like, that are also getting old.
Yes, I know. No. No, but honestly, this was so good. Like, I love talking to you. You're such a sweet human, and I'm in it for you.
Thank you so much for coming on here. I mean, you've been one of my favorite people. I have this, there's like this group of people that kind of went through the same transformation that I'm like, I have to talk to these people because it's so interesting to hear that we've all collectively had basically the same experience.
Yeah.
So Courtney, thank you so much. All of your information, where people can find you, will be linked in the description of this podcast. And yeah,
we'll do another one sometime. We'll get on and talk about food.
I would love to. I feel like there's so many different
Oh my God. Yeah. We can like help people on that level too. You know, I know you've had your own set of like eating disorders and stuff, as have a lot of women, you know, food fear, whatever it may be. So we'll chat another time for sure. Yes,
thank you.
If your people like me.
Yes. Oh, they're going to love you. I know they're going to feel so like heard, you know. I think by telling your story, a lot of the times you make other people heard. That's one of the common things I get. So thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Bye.